Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, hold something of your word for us this day, O God. May they lift the veil just a little, so that you might see us more clearly, so that we might see you. Amen. See if you can picture this scene that Brian just read from the story of Jesus. In the middle of this big city was a pool fed by an underground spring. Legend said that every once in a while, an angel would come and stir up the waters in the pool, and when that happened, the first person to get into the water would be healed. It seemed like a magical place, a place where God might touch you if you were able to get into good position around the pool. If you were a little more skeptical, you could think of it as kind of a healing lottery, where in an instant, your sickness or your disability might be instantly cured. Of course, people would come there, right? But because the angel didn't visit the waters all that often, and there was no published schedule for these miracles, people gathered around the pool and waited. Hundreds? Thousands? Who knows? But enough that someone had built porches all around the pool so that the blind and paralyzed people who waited there had some shelter from the sun and the wind. The man in our story today was one of the people who rested there in the shade, waiting for the waters to bubble up, for the angel of healing to arrive. 38 years he had spent by the side of that pool. He had a mat that he laid on, and I imagine that he'd accumulated a bunch of other stuff too over the years, eating utensils, a change or two of clothes, a blanket for cold nights. He had friends, people he'd gotten to know while he'd been there. They came and went. Maybe some of them got healed. No doubt some of them gave up and moved on. It wasn't exactly home, but for this man, it wasn't so bad. He'd gotten comfortable there. He never got to the water, and in fact, he sort of stopped trying. But what he'd found instead was a sort of support group for people who were as unfortunate as he was. People who, just like him, really had no hope. And they had lots of stories to share about the unfairness of life. And then one day, Jesus showed up. Now, Jesus was known to be a healer. And there were lots of sick people around that day, people who needed to be healed. We don't know whether Jesus stopped and talked with any of those other blind and lame or sick people, but it's hard to imagine that he didn't heal at least some of them, because that's who he was. But the story that John wants us to hear is this one, about Jesus' conversation with this man who had been in residence near the pool for the last 38 years. Jesus must have seen right past the surface of this guy's posture, right into his heart, because he asked the man a question that otherwise seems kind of insensitive. "Do you want to be healed?" he asked. "Do you want to be made well?" And what you have to notice first in this story is that the man doesn't answer Jesus' question. Instead, he starts right into a litany of why he hasn't been healed before now, and why he can't actually get better, Well, he says, look at me. I'm paralyzed. When the waters stir, I don't have anyone to help me. None of my family or friends have been willing to wait here with me. And when I try and make my way to the pool on my own, other people get in the way. How rude is that? So of course I can't get there in time to be the first one in the pool. And. No doubt he had rehearsed this speech before. He never answered Jesus' question. He probably never even heard Jesus' question because he was so firmly fixed on what was in between him and that healing pool. There's a healer standing right in front of him, and the guy looks right at him, right at Jesus, and thinks, "You're not going to carry me into that pool either, are you?" In his mind, there was only one way for healing to happen. If someone was going to come along to save him, it was going to have to be someone fast enough and strong enough to run right over all those other sick people and get him into the water first. Now, I don't know anything about the condition this man suffered from for those 38 years. Maybe he was legitimately ill. But it does seem that this story is different from the other healing stories in the Gospels. Jesus doesn't touch him or speak gently to him or say, "I heal you." He says, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." In other words, stop waiting for someone else to carry you. Stop waiting for other people to get out of your way. Jesus saw right into him. "For you," Jesus was saying to this man, "the problem is not in your legs. It's in your mind and in your heart." This is not a story about healing this man's body. It's a story about healing the sickness in his soul. No doubt I have mentioned to you before that I spent quite a few years of my life as an unhappy lawyer. For almost the whole 15 years that I practiced law, I would cycle through times when I was sure I could not do this job one more week. I had a whole litany of complaints. I didn't like fighting with people for a living. I didn't feel like I was helping anyone. I was stuck. I took classes on alternative careers for lawyers. I read books with titles like "Follow Your Bliss" and "Do What You Love, The Money Will Follow." Mostly I thrashed around, unhappy, discontent. I wasn't sure of what a better life would look like, so I couldn't just make a change, right? And of course, I talked about my unhappiness, probably even more incessantly and annoyingly than I remember. What I do remember is one night in the kitchen of the house that we lived in, my husband and my daughter and I remember it exactly. Terry and I were standing against different counters, and we were talking about our days at work. I had launched into what I'm sure was a familiar refrain about wishing I was in a different career. And in a moment that has stayed with me these 25 years since then, Terry looked right at me and said, "Stop obsessing." The voice of God does not always come to us gently. Oh, Okay, I thought. I can do that. With just those two words, which Terry probably said out of frustration more than compassion, I heard what I needed to hear at that moment. It was like a little kick that dislodged me from the place I had gotten stuck. For a while, at least, I actually did stop worrying, turning over and over in my mind a situation that I could not change at that moment. It's not like a whole beautiful future laid itself out in front of me. I had no idea then how the circumstances of my life would conspire eventually to send me in a different direction. But for the moment, at least, I was free to stand up and stop wallowing in my unhappiness. Now, I know what a privileged problem that was that I let consume me. Who really cares about a lawyer who can't find job satisfaction? When there are people all over the world who really are unable to move out of their hunger, or the only job that is feeding their family, or the war zone, or the refugee camp, or the prison where they are confined. There are many people whose illness or addiction or poverty locks them into a darkness that only the miracle of healing can break through. But I wonder if there isn't some part of most of us that is more like the guy by the side of the pool, needing maybe as much as healing itself, someone who can see that we have gotten comfortable in our discomfort. Someone who will dig down underneath the speeches we have prepared about why nothing can change, to see that being responsible, response-able, has become even more frightening than our illness, our loneliness, or our worry, or our sadness. Someone who will see the truth of our lives and ask us that hard question, do you want to be made well? It turns out that the guy by the side of the pool could walk, even when he couldn't answer the question that Jesus asked him. The truth is, he hadn't been sure that he wanted to be well. Even his hope for his body to be whole had gotten buried under all those years of watching for the miracle in the water. The truth in Jesus' question set him free. Not because he understood it completely, or because he rethought his theology of healing, but because Jesus wanted healing for him. This is what Jesus does. He sees us as we really are, offers us the truth, takes what is broken inside of us and holds it up until our eyes see it differently. Loves us, sometimes even with harsh words, into wholeness. Healing may not look like what we thought it was supposed to be. Maybe the healing we need most isn't about the magical water at all. Maybe in some way it is possible for our spirits to stand up, pick up our mats, and walk. Even in the places that we have long thought of next to the words, I can't. What is that place for you? Whatever it is that you are sick and tired of, whether it is your body or a stubbornly hard relationship or a dis-ease deep down in your soul, No matter how many people and obstacles stand in between you and what was supposed to be the healing place, maybe today someone is standing in front of you and asking, do you want to be made well? And whatever your answer is, even if you can't answer at all, maybe today the one who can see right into you is saying, come, pick up your mat. Leave all that other stuff, you don't need it. Be free. Amen.